Welcome to Hard Read, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Alan.
And we are back with our season of ongoing. It's my month. We're going to wrap up the space pulp opera thing, Beyond the Stars, as we decided to call it.
As we named last time, yes. Which was it only came out in July because it was a bad year.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Oh. I just finished listening to it and I forgot that we named it entirely. So,
yeah, I'm glad I have a cheat sheet here in front of me to look at.
It's in the Google
Drive because I also have it pulled up.
I'm not going to be the only one looking like an asshole without it pulled up. So let me pull it up.
What is it titled?
Space Pulp Opera Beyond the Stars. Would you like me to just send you a link?
No, I can. I'm just Googling it.
We're wrapping this up. Much like we talked about last month, the GMCU, this is not like a permanent forever. We're throwing it in the garbage can and we're done with it. I think we have gotten as far as we're going to get with the idea currently.
Which is weird because I feel like we have another season in us of it after listening to it today. But it is your call ultimately.
Yeah, I think we could do that for sure. I kind of just want to take a break from it for a little bit.
That's fair. That's fair.
So we will come back to this down the line. It may be as soon as 2 years from now because the idea I'm going to replace this slot with is very dumb, and I cannot wait to talk about that.
I can't wait to hear what it is. You have not told us yet.
So. What I am concerned about is that before Jake came on the call, Matt mentioned to me that this breaks one of our rules, specifically a rule that Matt himself put in place.
Yep. I'm very excited.
Anyway. Oh, well, that can only be three things then, because I know what the rules were going into the show. So I now have an idea of what it could be. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Matthew,
so
continue.
Let's. That was oddly formal.
The Matrim.
So let's talk about this world and kind of wrap up. Let's kind of do like an end of a Morphin Grid episode. Like a best worst kind of deal.
So here's the thing: is we only have one season thought out.
Yes.
So the best is that season.
So yeah, not a ton to.
Just like things we like, things we don't like, things that maybe could have had a second glance, kind of deal. If you can't tell, listener, we are making this.
One of my favorite things that we came up with was the Brotherhood of the Crimson Crossroad. I liked the idea of the worship of the black hole. I liked the idea of taking cultists and making them spacey. And I thought we did a really interesting take on that.
Yeah. I love Diamond Dick and his brother Deadwood Dick, the fabulous Dick Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love them Dick Brothers.
I really love the Greg Zorth. So here's the thing is we in this season that we have written down,
yes.
we do not get to Greg Zorth at all, except for in the post credits stinger.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Cause we figured out what will happen.
Yeah,
after.
We know stuff. We just didn't actually lay it out.
Yeah, because I feel like that is season two. I feel like, I mean, if we want to just bull rush season two and three?
Yes. Let's do that.
So, because season two is a lot of them on Stranma, like people on Stranma, intercut with old Stranma, which we don't know yet. That's where we kind of get the conspiracy stuff that happens. And at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
Greg right. Zor is plucked out of his timeline and dropped on ours. And about halfway through or three quarters of the way through, we figure out that like where Greg Zor is Stranma. You know, we just don't have a name for that anymore because it has been dutifully erased from the history
right,
books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Peripedia conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
Yep, where it basically got deleted from history.
Yeah, using the 12th Darkness as a cover to destroy everybody there so Peripety can become the center of Galactic, which I also like that it is medieval England, but we do have space travel.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, it's pulp. You know. Yeah, exactly, right?
I feel like we use that explanation horses for a lot of things. That's pulp.
Horses in a spacesuit.
Nope, that's too much, Alan. That's we figured that out. Two of these ago, that is one too far, is once you put the helmet on the horse, it's too dumb.
I disagree.
Well, tough, because that's the one rule we have. Except for the rules that we used to have that Matt's going to break in the episode.
Matt's breaking one of them.
Well, we might as well break all of them, Matt, if we're just going to throw the rules in the garbage.
Horses in space
helmet.
No,
that is not a rule.
That's a guideline, not a rule.
That is... I don't even think it's a guideline. I think that is a tenet of our being on this show. That you put a helmet on a horse is too stupid.
Okay.
But what about a little hat?
That's even dumber.
But somehow okay.
It's less practical. Why does a horse need a hat? It has a mane.
Fashion?
Who they cares? It's a horse. It's a fucking horse. Doesn't give a shit how it looks.
All right. So we have five different factions that we were kind of tracking along for plots.
Mm-hmm.
That was Operator Number 5, X the Phantom Fed, Hayden's Exploration Expedition with our awesome, the Alpha Team was our gunslinging girls, Cinnamon Chip, Denver Doll, and Hurricane Nell.
Love them.
The Circus.
The Fabulous Dick Brothers.
Yeah. And then Old Stronma. So.
And then there's also the Brotherhood of the Crimson Crossroads and the secret governments.
Yeah.
Which are kind of more antagonists than, people we're going to follow, you know?
And we kind of had some ideas that Operator Number 5 worked for the Shadow Government a little bit, sort of. Kind of. He was involved in both. They were involved in
both.
Yeah,
Operator 5 definitely gets orders from them. And we're not sure if he knows that or if he doesn't know that.
We do know that Operator Number 5 infiltrated the Crimson Cross and comes back with void magic somehow.
At the very end, yeah. Because there's a thing where you got to stare at the void to be initiated, and some of them get void magic from it. And he doesn't go Benooners from it.
But he does
which
get
is
magic.
Good, but he does get a little bit of magic.
I do like, with absolutely no explanation, I just have a thing here that says future episodes, Death of X. So...
Yeah, I think that we set that up in the last episode, is that it was one of Alan's ideas, is that we find out that X is who he is in earlier in the episode than normal, and we, for sure see them die, but then at the...
Oh, right, we see a previous cover,
at the funeral,
right?
We see the very first person to be X is, just in the crowd. It's, not... Mm-hmm. shown or highlighted,
not called
just
attention to,
just there, just in one of the pews or whatever.
Okay, so based on all of this kind of dealy going on here, what is our overarching thing for season two? So
I don't know.
So yeah, this is part of the problem. So we found Stronma, and we know that Greg Zor is in Old Stronma.
Right.
So now do we now start doing all the flashbacks with the darknesses? Are we kind of comparing and contrasting the two building darknesses?
Well, I think the 13th Darkness, I feel like that is season three, right? Is 'cause at the end we set up that Greg is pulled away from it after, they stop 12, but in doing so, he gets yanked out of time and dropped into now, which is 13,000 years later.
Yeah.
And so then next season, because by this point, we will have figured out the conspiracy. We will know the secret government exists, at least. There might be some sort of more formal, there's somebody else doing things, pulling strings. Kind of thing that those are the people that descended directly from the people who on Peripedia gave the call to let's screw them. Well, it looks like we're helping, but we are not. So I feel like season two is like it might feel like a little more disconnected up until the reveal, like, you know, episode 6 or 7, where we like reveal that old Stronma and new Stronma are the same place,
right? Mm-hmm. So season two, the season two arc then is a lot of dealing, like in the modern time, it's a lot of dealing with the Crimson Cross and the Shadow Government now coming into play.
Well, then I think we'll cut, like, the very end of the season will be like them revealed after we learn all the stuff about Peripedia in the past and all that. So,
all right. So season two is basically like half in the past flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
but you don't know it's in the past.
Right. Yeah. You think it's somewhere else and we're just adding a new storyline.
Right. Half old Stronma. And then half just continuing kind of the plots, right?
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
Yeah, so I think the He Girls, they have like kind of said like, hey, we found this new planet that has stuff on it, so it's an old planet that nobody knew about, and for some reason we slipped that past the government because we just broadcast it out to everybody, so now everybody knows about it. So there's a big, basically a gold rush.
Right, right, right.
So I think a lot of their story is like
exploring Stronma.
Exploring, trying to figure out like what happened, and I think that'll be like
right,
pretty
that's
satisfying
how we were,
once they come together.
That's how we were going to bring in that old Stronma was old Stronma, was that the He Girls were going to discover something that that like he had actively been doing, and that kind of puts everything in alignment.
Yeah, I think that the way we said the two reveals is that they're at one point Greg's like, we need to get help from Peripedia, and we know that as like the main planet, right, where like, you know, the capital planet, and so they
where
go
the
there
actual
and,
government is,
and we're expecting like, oh, it's like he's gonna come to our time, you know, but then he gets there and they're like medieval knights,
right,
basically.
Yeah, so that's probably the mid-season break, right?
Yeah, either. Well, I mean, it all drops at once because it's
yeah,
Netflix.
Strange.
You
yeah.
You two were very adamant about everything dropping at once.
Because
you hate waiting.
This weekly drop of Mandalorian episodes is reinforcing that desire in me.
I am saving all of them so I can binge them.
I've only watched two of them because of the new ones, because I watched them and my little brother got mad at me because he has access to Disney Plus. I thought he could just watch him on his own, but I just stopped. So we're going to watch him together.
okay. So the He Girls are exploring Stronma today and eventually kind of crossing the streams with old Stronma to tie that all together. Mm-hmm. The circus was last seen on Globnar.
A name we definitely need to,
change. Yeah.
Change. For sure.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's bad. It's too cute. And also the mouse would come down on us. That's for sure.
True. Yeah. They were fighting against like a biker gang branch of the Crimson Cross.
Yeah. I don't know if that's just like a branch or if they're just kind of how they are. Because I know like their base is on like a Now Times space station that is floating close enough to the...
Right.
Where you can see this event horizon, basically.
I still like that visual.
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess the cult has just like made landfall on.
Well, I mean, they probably came to Stronma with everybody else, right?
I don't know. I don't know if they did, or if we keep them
and the Dick brothers
separate.
I feel like if they did, it would be a stealth op. It would not be, you know, them running around with like their logo everywhere or whatever, like, because
right.
I feel like the Crimson Crossroads people are not as trusting of them. So if they're on Stronma, their presence is probably going to be more quiet.
Yeah, I feel like they are definitely like we will have people there that look like they're just prospectors or explorers or whatever, and then like we find out later. Because the thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Is to tie in the Crimson Crossroad to the 13th Darkness.
Yeah.
And the Shadow Government to sort of kind of wrap all these things up together for season 3, because that's, you know, where we kind of like pop everything off. So
is the circus going to stay on the Crimson Crossroad then? Is that going to be kind of there?
I think so, but I don't know what else to do with them. Yeah. They could also go to Stronma, because, like, we could just bring everybody there, but then that seems like...
That could be the end of the season, is just gathering everybody up.
True.
Yeah, I guess, because I feel like if we did that, if the first season of the show is everybody's all over the place and we're sort of, like, slowly tying all these narratives together... If season two, if we just bring everybody to one place, we're doing, like, the opposite of that. Which could be good, but also could be like, I liked when they were all in different places doing stuff, rather than, like, they're all here tying stuff together right here, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we could even... We'll touch... So let's say right now the circus is more or less off doing circusy, heisty things that... sometimes cross with the Crimson Cross and ruin their day.
Yeah, maybe the circus plot line for the year is like they're going to different places and everywhere they go, like there just happen to be Crimson Crossroads people there, and that's not an accident. Like they are doing that very much on purpose.
I mean, we kind of established last time that I think X. No, well, X or Operator Number 5 or both tend to, like, drop hints to the circus. It's like, hey, guys.
Yeah, and especially if Operator Number 5 infiltrated them, then I think his story would be a lot of, like, the deep inside stuff, so we can let the circus kind of go do some other things.
Mm-hmm. We could even maybe start bringing in another faction almost. Like,
okay.
Like, start talking about something in the actual real galactic government, not the shadow one. Because that would be very much within X and 5's purview, is what sort, like, they're dealing with the bigger issue of the Crimson Cross, this coming dark, something big is happening. That's where their focus is at.
Right.
But they hear about, like, this band of marshals that is just going a bit rogue. And that's what the circus goes to investigate, more or less.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of flip the cop and robbers narrative on its head.
Right, right. So do we have... That's actually pretty good. Do we have... What was the place we used to find these pulp characters?
That is Public Domain Superheroes.
Because I feel like we should just pull it up and, like, just grab a couple people and see what we can do.
Yeah, I like that.
If one of you finds the link before I do, send it over.
Got you.
All right, I found it, actually. Let me send it to y'all.
I'm already there.
I appreciate that.
You got it. Public domain category, pulp characters?
Yep.
Would you send it to me?
Yes. Where is the chat on this thing?
Down where there it says chat.
Is. Found it. I was expecting it to be on the side.
Fair.
Type message here.
You're expecting cool. The Google style.
Yes. Well, that's what I mostly use, so.
Did your Hangout link still work, or is it dead?
The Hangout link still works, but it's clunky, so we just grabbed a Meet link, and we put it in our chat. We just use that now. All right, I just posted it.
Cool, cool, cool.
Nice.
All right, so we want to look for some people who can be...
These seem like... You got superheroes.
You got to scroll down. Yeah, it's all kind of mixed in there.
Okay. Here's a guy that I'm going to look at. What's up, Gulliver Jones? It's a pretty solid name.
Staying far away from Zorro.
We could
do a Zorro.
We could put Zorro in, right? Like, we could maybe do that.
I want to very badly.
okay, let's talk about a Zorro then. What are we going to do with a Zorro?
Oh, well, just real quick, I popped open Gulliver Jones. Gulliver Jones is a former lieutenant in the Confederate Army, bad call,
who
arrives
him.
On Mars thanks to a magic carpet. He falls in love with the Martian princess of the Hither Folk and fights the villainous Thither Folk. That's actually a pretty cute wordplay. However, he is not very accomplished adventurer and fails to completely win his prince's heart or defeat his enemies. you know, because like all Confederates, he's good at losing. And then it says Gulliver Jones was the inspiration for John Carter of Mars. And like, yeah, like directly, it looks like.
So real person.
No.
Okay.
No, he was created by Edwin Lester Arnold. He just whoever wrote Carter, John Carter of Mars, was just like, yeah, I'm going to do that too, and then just did the same thing.
Got it. Over in that same category, take a look at Texas Ranger parentheses Nidor.
Nidor.
That's not his name, but we can maybe use it.
Powers and abilities. He was an exceptional gunfighter.
The Nidor comics were renewed by Popular Library, which was eventually bought out by Fawcett Books. When Fawcett went out of business, the Popular Library sold to Warner Brothers. A number of different publishers, however, are currently slash have been using these characters without any lawsuits from Warner Brothers. So any action of them is probably unlikely. They are, however, use your own risk characters.
So maybe not, but he seemed like he was a blank enough slate, but no.
But also, he's explicitly from Texas. His name is Jim Texas, as far as I can tell. And he is,
I mean, it's an untold rule that everyone's last name is in Texas is just Texas until you know otherwise.
They tried doing that to me when I moved there, and I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah, you're Jake Texas now. Sorry.
No, nope. Look, Jake Texas, good wrestling name, but... All right. What about Joan Vale? What's up with you, Joan Vale?
She's Greg Zor's girlfriend.
Oh, you're right.
So she did
all about Greg Zor's girlfriend, Joan Vale. Wife, and who is like the one who basically stops the 12th Darkness and then sends him to the future. So
she's awesome. Look at William Kenny, because we might have an option here.
William Kenny,
Dr. William Kenny.
Oh, a doctor.
Leader of a group of space explorers. Blah, 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 blah.
Blardy, blah, blah.
They have a vehicle called the Sky Cube. That's fun.
Okay.
But.
John W. Smith.
There's a character called the Queen of Life, the Lord Evolutionist, of the Lord of Death. Deal with the Lord of Death.
Hold on, Strokor, the Lord of Death, that is the 12th Darkness. That's the gorilla with bat ears.
Yeah. And then they have the Queen of Life happens, and then something called the De-Evolutionist.
Okay, so here's some cool stuff that we can play. Also, there's one thing I wrote down that I forget.
Ooh.
Who it might have been X the Phantom Fed. Someone had a thing. One of their adventures that we just kind of like when we were picking characters was just something we just like kind of glanced right over. But it stuck with me this time is Atlantis, which is a flying fortress.
That's not X because I just pulled up his.
It's somebody. I forget who. I didn't write down who. I just wrote down Atlantis, the flying fortress.
I love that.
So,
yes.
Going back to Zorro.
Yes, please.
Pitch us a Zorro.
I like the idea of folks going rogue from the actual government. Maybe Zorro is the one that brings them in because Zorro was pretty famous for, you know, fighting against the law and law enforcement. So maybe he's the one that's like, hey, these are bad even for cops.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Zorro steps in at?
To what end? Yeah. Like, hold on. I'm confused. What is Zorro doing?
So we were talking about like the Fabulous Dick Brothers were going to see about, you know, these rogue, you know, government officials or, you know, sheriffs or whatever, marshals, however you want to describe it. I think that would be a natural fit to bring in Zorro.
Okay.
As like their enemy.
Yeah. That Zorro has been like harassing them and is ultimately bent on taking them down, and he could even appear at first as an antagonist to the Fabulistic Brothers until he realizes that their goals align.
I like that.
Okay.
Because what it could be is that Five and Operator Five was the one who had the reference to the Atlantis.
Okay.
I just looked it up. What it could be is that Operator Five or X, the Phantom Fed, whoever is kind of directing the circus in this direction this season, basically is just like, I have my suspicions about these marshals, but I can't just tell my circus to go bust up cops. So there's this other guy who is fighting these bad cops, these cops that I assume are bad. I'm going to go tell him to go investigate him, and things will just play out.
Okay.
So that can kind of be like the way that we get them to whatever the new planet is.
Wherever they need to be. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I want to come back to the Atlantis, and I feel like that should be a season three thing. Cause I feel like the Atlantis, a flying fortress.
It's listed right after the 13th darkness as one of his foes.
I feel like it should be like a thing, like they should be connected, you know? So we'll save that for like a minute from now. So let's just get season two like tied together.
Yes.
Real quick. So we got the Greg Zor plot line from start to finish is there is the oncoming 12th darkness. We talked about last time or time before last how there's going to be a lot of setup for like secret 12s hidden everywhere. They have clockwork, so like that is a mm-hmm. whole thing. There's going to be a point at some point where a bell will ring 13 times. If you're not paying attention, no one's going to talk about it. But like if you do, you can put it on the wiki or whatever,
yeah,
and look very smart in front of your friends. Mm-hmm. So there's that. They go to Peripedia. They get the weapons from Peripedia. They come back to fight the 12th darkness. They fight it. They stop it, but it
at a heavy price.
It's a huge price. Everybody dies except for Greg, because he is sent forward in time using whatever means we figure out by the time we get there by Joan Vale, who I've decided fucking rules.
Yes.
So that's there. So I feel like the last episode of the season is that coming to a head, right? And then they're fighting in the throne room, which we have never gone to on New Stronma.
Yeah, that's the mm-hmm. like the overlapping scene was that.
Yeah, so like that's when the Hee Hee girls find their way in, and they open the door, and like it's a mirror of the scene, but like this time everything's like, you know, 13,000 years old and falling apart and mm-hmm. overgrown and stuff. And then Greg Zor just like pops in, right? And it's like, oh yeah. Shit, there he is. How do the Hee girls get there? What is their Are they just like looking for stuff, like trying to figure out what happened? Are they trying to figure out what happened under the guise of trying to find gold or whatever? And
I think that makes a lot of sense because we've set them up as very exploratory and curious. So I could easily see them being like, yeah, this is a gold rush, but also what the fuck happened here?
Like something happened here. Yeah.
We kind of have a running line with them where they're clearly hunting for something. Like they found that old space station that had all sorts of horrible monsters on it. They were looking for the El Dorado, more or less, which led them to Stronma.
Right. I forgot about that.
What I think what we need for them is we need to give them. Hey, Jake.
Yeah.
Do you want to get Joan Vale into the modern day?
Explain yourself, but yes.
So what if the cost of beating the 12th darkness is sort of a twofold thing, is that the darkness insists that someone stays alive to be their harbinger
for the next darkness. So Joan Vale is immortal?
So Joan Vale is immortal, has been alive this whole time, and has been the Hee girl's like scholarly research person who's just kind of like gently nudging them in directions.
And we never see her face.
Yeah, we never see her face. Like she's always like over a comm channel or something.
that might be suspicious. That might get suspicious.
Okay, some other method where we don't see her or something, like.
Right. What if?
Or even if the He-Girls thought she was an AI.
Have we really talked about AI in this?
We haven't.
I don't think it's really been a going thing.
It could be. What if that's what they find
in
the
space station?
That
it's just like a holographic projection, but it's, yeah, they find it in the space station. They think it's just a holographic projection / AI, but it's actually Joan Vale.
I don't know. Okay, so
we can play with this idea more. Like, is,
yeah, I just, I want to dig into it a little bit. I just want to dig into it a little bit.
Okay.
If someone is alive for 13,000 years,
yes,
how do you maintain sanity?
You probably don't for a large chunk of time.
So, like,
what if she also founded the Crimson Cross?
No, because the Crimson Crossroads are, like, explicitly, like, trying to bring back the 13th Darkness, which I feel like she would not want to do.
If she went insane enough.
I feel like that is anathema to what.
Okay.
What if.
I'm just throwing spaghetti at a wall here on this
idea. So kind of going back to the AI, what if instead of being immortal, she was immortalized?
Oh, someone's just, like, scanned her brain.
And so they turn her back on, so she's not.
They find
she
her
hasn't
on
been aware for 13,000 years, but she's still alive.
Or she's not in the modern era. We scrap that whole bit, and we kind of play off with Alan saying what we find is a recording of, like, her, like a broken recording of her. And that points them to the throne room. So she was saying, like, we have to get to this one room. Like, there's a treasure here, a weapon here, something. And that just points them to the season.
A distress beacon.
That technology, I feel like, is too advanced for when they were.
A distress beacon?
Yeah. Because, like, I'm willing to accept that they can hop from planet to planet. Because of pulp, whatever. But I feel like anything, because all they have is, like, clockwork. Like, the at most is, like, they have clockwork stuff. So I feel like a something sending out a signal that someone 13,000 years later could read with anything is, like, all, like, too much.
Too much of a stretch.
Yeah. What if instead of her being immortalized or be immortal or whatever is. We assume everyone dies.
Okay.
She did not right away.
Okay.
I just did a little bit of looking at the Joan Vale wiki page, the thing.
Uh-huh.
So I forgot that part of it is that there is a guy named Caragon, the Tyrant of Mars.
Yes.
Who is, like, there's, like, two major factions of people on Mars, and he's trying to stir up animosity. And so there's a whole thing where they fight, right? And Joan says, this is just a quote on here, so that's pretty cool. But, Greg, it would do no good to kill Caragon. The Thealist machine has the planet in its grip. If Caragon died, they would elect another to take his place. Would killing him destroy their fleets, their war machine? Would it disorganize their secret police or repeal their harsh laws? And think what would happen to your people when it becomes known that Arin had assassinated the dictator. So it seems like she's, like, pretty smart, right?
Yeah.
like she's, mm-hmm. she can see past the, like, immediate. Greg Zor is, like, a warrior, right? She is.
She's the brains.
She's, like, a spy. Like, she's the person who has to think, like, three steps ahead of, like, what happens if you do a thing, right? What if everyone dies? There's, like. We take care of the Caragon thing, however we decide to deal with that. I feel like that shouldn't be a whole lot of it since the 12th Darkness we are bringing into it. Maybe Caragon, like, works for the 12th Darkness as, like, a harbinger or a herald or something of it.
Yeah.
So they do that. Everybody dies. Like, that's the whole deal, is that, like, everyone dies except for Greg, who gets shunted to the future, mm-hmm. and Joan Vale, who survives this, like, literal apocalypse event. And then we don't find that out until next season. Right. But we will find out that whatever clues they've been following have been deliberately left for the He-Girls by Joan when she was the only one left on the planet.
Okay. So she basically made a roadmap for people to follow later.
Yeah, she, because like the way I see it is like whatever happened, like if everyone on the planet died, then obviously there's going to be a lot, like, you know, it's going to be a big mess. But she went to all the places that she figured people would either land if they found it or like if they could get to, you know, like she just did the math, like, if no one's here, it's going to overgrow. This is what's going to happen. So this is these are the places I will need to put clues to lead back to here so they can figure out what happened to us and stop the 13th darkness, which I, Joan Vale, have figured out exists from whatever clues. Maybe the – so you said – Matt said something about the 12th chime or the midnight chime is what it's called. Like the incident is in a past episode is like the thing that ended – Stranma and the 12th Darkness was called like the Midnight Chime. Maybe that's when there are 13 and Joan is the only one to go, what was that? And then like everyone dies except she manages to survive. And so she knows something else is coming. And so that's like,
okay. So that's, and then she, I like that.
Yeah.
I think
so that's that we can kind of get her to do more later. And we can bring her back to show her being like the only person on the planet, like working just to an end because like, she's like, I can't get off the planet, so I need to, if someone comes here, I need to warn them about the 13th darkness, because
no, like
that might be the last one, so.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. So then, the He-Girl's exploring the messages left by Joan.
Yes.
Okay, I dig that. I have an idea to tie into Zorro and the circus. I just found a character that might be interesting to add in this season.
Okay.
Look up Black Star on the list.
Black Star.
I have not
a detective story. Okay.
He is a criminal mastermind with a sense of honor. So he's not into like the murder or the threatening or any of that. But like he's also into like, I kinda want all the money, please and thank you.
Okay.
So what if we build we Globnar last season, whatever, they moved on. We're on another planet, basically run by Black Star. And okay. So what he did was he's been very clear with the government, like he pays all the tithes, pays all the dues, he's cool with them. Then these marshals showed up and started just throwing weight around that didn't need to happen. He got in touch with X, the Phantom Fed. That's where we can tie his story in this season. Why not? Keep him tied there.
Well, I think for X, we can literally just do like, anything. While everyone else is doing it, here's a weird random one-shot. They're like, oops, it's X. And by now, you probably know that, but like, here it is. You know.
Mm-hmm. So he contacts one, either X or fan or Five. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's a detail.
Well, Five's going to be busy, I think, for most of the season with the Crossroads. So.
So X can't get away at the moment, so he's just like, all right, circus, go help my boy Black Star out. He's got lawman troubles. There's a Zorro character. That's their whole plot, is on Black Star's planet.
There's rogue marshals. There's a Zorro. You get it. We're going to need some help here.
We just need some things smoothed out because things are happening. Please, we cannot have our attention split.
So Black Star is a criminal, but yes. he is. I just read the phrase genuine criminal, which I very much enjoy. Where does Zorro factor in? Is he the one who like calls the circus into town? Is like, hey, we'll get a circus here. It'll distract people from the thing. And then like, also I've heard that they're also vigilantes, so maybe they can stop the marshals. You know,
maybe. Is Black Star Zorro? Does he actually have two different identities? Like
When he's trying to fight crime, he's Zorro. But when he's not, he's Black Star. And when he's
Black Star,
and when he's neither, he's like the magistrate of the planet.
Yeah, he's the governor.
You could even change his iconic Z to look more like a star.
I think what we do is we play it
it's three different characters.
Like it's
right?
three completely different characters all played by one guy who we have to because it says that Blackstar wears like a hood and so like you can't see him, so like that's cool. Zoro's kind of obscured, so we can kind of like fake it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea that like at some point it will be revealed that like, oh, Zoro is Black Star is the governor who hired us, you know, like
it's perfect. It's one step too far, which makes it perfect.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. So what's going on with operator number five and with X the Phantom Fed?
Well, operator number five is with the Crimson Crossroads, right? So he has successfully infiltrated, and I think by the fact, like, just the fact that he does have some sort of void magic and did not go crazy from looking at the end of everything, like, they got to kind of promote him kind of quick, which is, like, good for him, but also, like, now we're suspicious of, like...
Of him.
Maybe he fell in with them, and... Also, he did get some weird orders last time that we don't know where they came from, so we're not sure what's going on.
Is that actually their stories? X and Five's story is X getting suspicious and then trying to like investigate his buddy?
I think so. I don't know how we would handle X in this situation because their whole thing is they are a different person every time. So we would need to
We need a sidekick for five. We need a six.
Al, what you Googling, bud?
I'm just thinking.
Ooh. Ooh, actually, Dr. William Kinney, who knows about all these things, like the Lord of Death and all this stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
That's who five is talking to this whole time. Like when they promote five all the way up, they're just like, all right, we need you to go talk to this guy because he knows too much. We need to figure out what he knows, how all this stuff. Go figure out William Kinney.
They also got to be doing something to activate the apocalypse, right?
Yes, yeah.
So, and I feel like a lot of, maybe what we do is we bring in William Kinney's gang, because there's like six people on that list, right? There's like a bunch of people that he was like in a gang with, and we treat them as like not protagonists but like main characters, even though they are bad people, right?
Okay, so we're actually just adding in a faction, more or less.
We just add in a faction that we will follow, and then that's also like kind of a secret way for us to do X stories by having their stuff get thwarted, and every once in a while you're like, maybe that was X the Phantom Fed. You know, because maybe X is trying to get Jimmy out, but he can't just like go get Jimmy. And also he could infiltrate and be right next to Jimmy and Jimmy wouldn't notice, because the only person you can see through X's disguise is death.
Yeah.
So.
And the Lord of Death ain't here until William Kinney's gang succeeds.
Yeah. So maybe there's a thing we can do there.
I think.
Alan, what you thinking about? You've been quiet for a while, having a furrowed brow and looking at your computer.
I've just been thinking. I don't know.
Okay.
About what? This is a podcast.
Is this something you
can
vocalize for us?
So.
Not really, because what I'm getting stuck on, and this is very stupid and unrelated.
Okay.
There's a character called Dixon Hawk.
Good name. Solid name.
Who
yeah.
is a Scottish detective, blah, blah, blah.
I love that already.
Like, super cool. Dick, and Dixon?
I mean, could he be the straight man on that in the Black Star situation? Like, could he be the straight man detective?
I mean, why do we need another detective?
We don't.
I don't think we do.
He is an interesting character.
That's what I have been chewing on, is do we need someone like him? And I think you're right, Jake. I think ultimately the answer is no. Because we have a lot of characters like him.
Yeah, we have a lot of people investigating already. I like the name.
He's very
but I don't,
good.
I mean, maybe we can toss him in a you
he
know,
can be
Phantom
part
Fed
of the
one-off.
Circus or something. Like,
I don't think he would fit in the circus. He's a detective from Scotland. So, you know.
Yeah, maybe he's just like the governor's number one, like, trusted detective guy. But he's not a main character. He's just there.
Ooh, what if he worked for Black Star / the governor / Zorro investigating the Black Star? So to, like, cover the governor's bases to say, oh, I can't be the Black Star. I don't know what you're talking about. This guy is looking into the Black Star for me and reporting on all of his activities.
Yeah, so he's the straight man detective employed by the governor to hunt down crime.
Right. Well, I mean, he doesn't seem very action-y, though. He seems like more of like a detective he's looking just a for detective. Things.
Yeah.
So, which is why he still would need to call in the Fabulous Dick Brothers and their
exactly.
space so, circus.
But we could bring in Dixon to kind of do an exposition-y lore dump of this is what we know about the Black Star. This is what we know about the fugitive we call Zorro.
A recurring character who shows up in like two episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gulliver Jones can be the lead bad marshal.
I love that. That's good.
Just to get him on the board, because I love the name Gulliver Jones.
Real good. And he's
the thing about all of
loser.
These characters. These names are just...
They're very choice.
They're so good.
Okay. Can we slam out a third season? Because really, the third season is just like, uh-oh, darkness.
Well, so third season... So. How do we let's real quick before we get to third season? What do we do with Zorro? How does this story go? I assume we by the end of it we figure out that Zorro and Black Star and Governor blah 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 are the same.
Yeah, we figure out that that's all tied together, which the circus doesn't give a shit about. They're like, y'all are still paying us, right?
Whatever. This is your planet. Like, you know, as long as you're not treating your people bad, like we took care of your space marshals, right? So that's how that wraps up.
I feel like tie there is the corrupt marshals are probably. Tied to the darkness somehow, or the shadow government.
They are. What if they are just like Crimson Crossroads people?
Yeah, that's easy enough.
So like that way, and like we don't really know it right away, but like pretty early on we figure it out. And so the Dick Brothers are like, oh, now you can't fire us. We're invested. So
yeah, we're invested. Mm-hmm. We also know how to deal with this firsthand. We killed a biker gang last year. So.
Yeah. So then the He Girls are they're doing a lot of.
Exploring.
Indiana Jones stuff, you know, exploring around, trying to find what, like, there's these just weird clues that seem like they're leading to something, and they need to figure it out.
Then and they end up in the throne room. That's where their whole thing goes.
Yeah, which I feel like is, like, them getting in the throne room, and then, like, here is a Greg Zor. Like, is gotta be Jones' plan. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, if I can time this right, it's 13,000 years away, but maybe I can time this right.
I know when we sent him, so.
Yeah, so, or maybe it's just like a what if it's a someone has to go into the throne room again
and activate it?
Does not go in again because she's like I don't want to make his you know as much as I miss him and want him back I don't want him to
when
just
they,
pop up here they're going to need him more than I do
when they activate the throne room Greg Zor shows up.
So she needs to get people to go there, and that's what the clues are. So
I like that, yes.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Okay, so what happens with the Crimson Crossroads and Five and all that?
We got Five.
Because those three, X, Five, and William Kinney, are kind of carrying the narrative thread of the big threat right now.
Yeah, so I feel like that's got to be a lot of, like, them trying to do weird things that we don't quite understand because, like, how does void magic even work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, trying to, like, do things by certain times to, like, you know...
Trigger, certain like, events. Ritual. It's all a ritual.
Exactly. It's all weird ritual, and so it's them doing that, and I feel like they need to stop it, but maybe they don't, or maybe... Oh, maybe... What if the finale, the death of X,
is
operator number Five going, know you're X, and then killing him to like prove that he is in the crossroads.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say, "Hey, X," and then killing him to show that he actually did go Benunu's when he looked into the darkness.
It could be either way, right? We won't know. But here's the thing, is later on at X's funeral in the start of season three, we see X. So it's Jimmy. It's maybe operator number five is not
just
crazy,
just enough, you know, to raise the eyebrows. Like,
exactly.
Oh. Right. To make you wonder, is he Benunu's? Was that on purpose? I like that a lot. I think it leaves a lot of really interesting questions.
And I think that means we're going to put off canceling this ongoing for another year. And I'll tell you guys my idea off camera.
So okay,
I was about
so
to say, you can't just not tell us.
Yeah.
No, I will tell
I
you.
That's illegal.
I will tell y'all once we're done here.
Okay. So yeah, we do that. So then that ends. And then next year it sets up season three, which is the final year of the show
Beyond the Stars,
not our show Beyond the Stars, where we will figure out how everything
wraps up
and ties together then.
Okay. Well, Jake, you proved me wrong. You proved there are still some legs in this.
I was listening to it today, and we talked about season two in the second episode and season one in the third, and I was like, we never figured out what season two exactly was. We just figured out, like,
look, we have a brand
going on. So, yeah.
Our brand is largely don't know what we're doing.
We're doing it live.
We sure are. Mm-hmm. Hey, we might actually. Follow our Twitter.
Stay tuned.
Hey, so yeah, we don't have to roll anything. Next month, we're doing an actual postmortem on the GMCU, Jake?
Yes. And this, much like this one, by the end of that one, it could change. But
asterisk.
But
that one probably has less legs to still run on.
I feel like we kind of nailed it with the three phases, the 18 movies, I think, because it's five movies and then the
crossovers,
per one. So I feel like we got it, but I just want to do like a let's talk about what we liked and what we didn't like and maybe things we forgot and like characters we want to use that we could plug into other stories in different ways and stuff like that. So
all right. I can dig that. So, yeah, come back for that last of the season ongoing. And, oh, we can all just be praying and crossing fingers that 2021 is not going to take a dump on us again.
Well, this goes up in January, so hopefully by now.
We should have an idea.
See where the shape of the world's going.
Please. Not another year like this year. Please and thank you.
Please, God. Please, oh, please. Everyone wear your masks. Don't go anywhere if you don't need to.
Yeah. Wear a mask. Tell someone you love them. All right. Well, in that case, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
And that wraps up this one on the ongoing.
You may reboot.
Hey, thanks for listening to Hard Reboot. You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us at hardreboot@fitzdraw.com. Alan's on Twitter at Alan_Sells. Matt is at Matt Hoadley, and I am at JJ_Mason. Thanks for listening.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.